I was sitting in my office getting ready for church, and I said, man, why is it getting brighter inside? That's weird. It hasn't happened in a while. And I looked out the window, and I said, oh, my goodness, the sun. So I ran out, I just ran across the parking lot a couple times. And then it was gone. But it was, you know, it was a good couple minutes of sunshine. Huh? No, I didn't see the rainbow. I just saw the... I'm good with New England. Yeah. Finland, right? Finland in the wintertime. You can go there and the sun never comes up. Yes, yeah. Yeah, that's it. But I went to Finland in the summer, and that was good because the sun never went down. It's the opposite. So at 4 a.m, we were sitting out on the dock, and it was like sunshine. I said, why would you come here in the winter? I don't know why. Yeah, that's it. I thought I saw Wesley walk in, but maybe it was one of the junior followers that just has silver hair. I don't know. Went downstairs. Halloween. Yeah. Someone dressed up as Wesley for Halloween. Anyway, maybe we'll give him a minute. All right, let's open in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for answering prayer. Thank you for hearing our prayers and caring enough to answer. Thank you for leading us in holiness, Lord. We're lost and unable without you. But with you, Lord, we can do it. We can walk and not be weary. We can run and not faint, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this church. Every member, every person who calls this their home, Lord, we thank you for each person. We pray for each person. Pray for every burden, every difficulty, every victory. Lord, that we are together in it. Teach us what that means. Teach us what the body of Christ is, why you've designed it, why you've given it to us, Lord. Thank you. Pray for Regina Davis tonight in UMass. Just ask that you would strengthen her, help her. Pray for the family, Jean, Robert, his family, the daughters, Lord. Just give them wisdom, give them strength, give them peace, give them understanding, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You incline your ear to our prayers. You're mindful of us. You visit us. You comfort us. You protect us. You lead us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Heal people, we ask, Lord. I ask that you would deliver people from all kinds of things, Lord. Deliver people from chronic pain. Deliver people from cancer. Deliver from heart disease, from lung disease, from all kinds of things, Lord. You know what's needed. We bring them to you, God. Pray for the thing that's seemingly not a big deal, but we bring it to you and ask that you would give victory in it, you would give comfort in it, and you would glorify yourself in it. It would be a little thing that would push us on in faith, Lord. Pray for missions, or missions here locally. Pray for missions in this country, what you're doing in our country, stirring us to faith. Provoke the church, Lord. The church in this country, that you would provoke it to love and good works, gospel preaching, Bible conviction. Thank you, Lord. Pray for our missionaries around the world this evening. Pray for great safety, great protection, and strengthen them in the warfare that they're in, Lord. At every corner there's a challenge to the mission, but you are greater. Help us to see you and not the challenge. Help us to focus on you, follow you, pursue you, preach you, and see see things overcome, see people saved, Lord. We want to see people saved in these times. We don't want to just see people encouraged. We do, but we want more. We want people plucked out of hell. We want people saved. We want lives to be changed, families to be changed, Lord. Neighborhoods changed, cities changed in your name, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, here we are. Hey, we're going to have Thanksgiving dinner here on Wednesday the 24th, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We're going to just have a dinner in here, just one big table, stretch across diagonally across the room, just one big table. No, we'll have just a time together, and we'll take care of some of the big things, right? We'll get a turkey. I don't know what to do with it. Well, maybe we'll deep fry it, huh? Should we do that? Deep fry a turkey out in the front in the parking lot? Start a new tradition. Not on the porch. Right, not on the porch. Seen enough videos not to deep fry turkeys on wooden objects because the whole thing could go up in smoke. But then bring a dish. Bring, if you have something in your family that's a tradition, you could bring it. A dessert, a dish, or combination. Right? Like sweet potatoes could be dessert. They could be a main part of the main meal too, right? They're like the ultimate flex option. Sweet potato pie, sweet potato casserole, whatever. Anyway, so that'll be the 24th. We'll do it right here at 6:30. So it's instead of our Wednesday evening service, we'll have a time together. And we'll have, of course, we'll have a word, we'll have testimonies, and just a time to be together. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, huh? As much as we can be together. And who's welcome at that dinner? We'll post that on that Sunday before. We'll post it downstairs, who's allowed to come. Okay? No, everybody can come. Everybody. And if you know someone who needs a plague, bring them too. All right. Even if you don't like them, it's okay. Maybe after dinner you'll like them. Maybe they'll get saved and you can like them after that. Huh? Huh? Yeah, that's it. Nothing brings people together like a turkey leg. Okay. Oops. Okay. turn with me to Jude. The book of Jude. Right before Revelation. It's this little book right before Revelation. It gets squeezed in there. One chapter. But it's full of good stuff. Okay, the other thing is we see look at the donations are coming in for the Operation Christmas Child. Like it's taking over the room. Isn't that good? And then, I think the 21st, November 21st, we're going to do a packing party in here. And that's a fun time. It's an operation too. I mean, Beth and Kelly and Cindy, they've been doing it for years. And usually they do it with the Sunday school, which is amazing. What an undertaking. It's like taking a bunch of cats and putting them in order and telling them what to do, right? And they do it. But last year they invited the adults to join and it was worse. No. No, we all did it together. Is anybody here last year for the packing thing? Yeah, we did it. I don't know, maybe there was 20, 25 of us. Everyone went through and packed the box and it was so much fun. And thinking, praying over each box and where it would go, what hands it would end up in. And that'll be the 21st that we'll do that packing. So bring stuff in. If you pack a box at home, bring it in. We'll take it to the distribution center. And then otherwise, if you have pencils or whatever, right, whatever you can bring to send off. And these boxes, we've been doing this for 20-something years, right, with Samaritan's Purse. And what it is they send these shoe boxes out to wherever there's a need. Wherever there's a need, a third world, first world, wherever it is. I think one year they went to Houston was it a hurricane that hit Houston? Yeah, hurricane, and then it's the floods that came afterwards. So they went down to Houston and they gave these gifts to the kids there. Pastor Misha in the Ukraine has actually been on the other end of it, distributing these boxes to kids in the Ukraine. I think some of our pastors in Western Africa and Eastern Africa have been a part of passing these out where in their community. So these things go to wherever there's a need. So we pack them, and then we pray, and we send them out. And they, each one has a little gospel message and whatever gift, stuffed animal, ball, pencil, right, toothpaste. We have some boxes, but then if you have a shoebox, bring it in.
And we'll... Because you don't leave, but yesterday I'm in another church.
Yeah.
And we will put a lot of shoebox out because we donated the shoes, but you said.
Oh.
And the woman said, she said, I know what church, they need a box, but I don't know what church.
Shoeboxes.
And she asked us where we stay for she find the church. This is Haverston, so far from here.
Yeah.
But she's right now, you ask this.
Oh, yeah, see, we'll fill them with stuff. Yeah.
I found out something today. I went on the Dollar Tree website, and you can actually order like 48 or something, and if you order it right now, it'll be here by November 15th. You have to buy 48, but like I'm going to order 48 stuffed animals for $48.
Oh, there you go.
So,
that's a good one. Dollar Tree?
Yeah.
Dollar Store?
Dollar
General?
Tree.
Dollar Tree, okay. DollarTree.com, and you can order 40, and it'll be here before the 21st.
It said it'll be here.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good idea. Okay, so.
It's also really crazy, just randomly on the note. So Liberty is a distribution center for the East Coast, and all of the Liberty students every year go through, and the boxes all have to be checked before they will send them out, and then they put all the pamphlets and everything within them. And so last year we did 480,000, I think, at Liberty.
Wow. That's so cool.
And they have warehouses full at Liberty, and like Liberty does packing parties and all-nighters and all these things.
Okay.
It's all wicked cool. Just to see like the poll, and then Liberty was actually the people who went to Houston and distributed.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They had LU send, and LU sent all the kids there to distribute everything.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's so cool. Like Ryan has been in every part of this process. You got to go, you got to find out where they're handing them out. you got to seal it up. You got to complete the cycle. You got to go to wherever they're, excuse me, wherever they're passing them out. You got to be a part of that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, they also are in our communities and going into these very underprivileged places. And
that's what I love about the organization, right? It's wherever there's a need, right? Not relative, but wherever there's a need. Not comparative need, but a need, and they're there. It's amazing. The heart of God is there. I love it. So, okay, so that's exciting. That's so cool. Thanks you for that, Ryan. And we've seen it. And Beth said that last Sunday, didn't she? She said that she's heard the testimonies on every part of this, right? From the distribution centers to handing it out in the other places. So we get to be a part of it. It's beautiful. And God knows the fruit of it in time. Okay, this morning we spoke about God's ability, that God is able. Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, we preached a message that God is pleased with you. And if you haven't heard it, I would go back and listen to it. I think it was a great message, encouraging message. God is pleased with you. You can't disappoint God. As shocking as that might seem, you can't disappoint God because you are accepted in the Beloved. You are already accepted in the Beloved. There's nothing more to be done. And then this morning, excuse me, I still have this little cold, so sniffling a little bit. But and then this morning, God is able. God is able. We said in John chapter 1, God spoke and everything came into existence. He created everything that there is. That's how able he is, that he could speak to nothing, and nothing obeyed him and became something. That's how able he is. There's nothing that he can't do. But he is. But his choice and his interest and his love is focused on you and me. God is able to create this whole thing, and the study of the human body, the study of human cultures, the study of the world, the study of geography, the study of all of these things. And then we go out further and further into the galaxy, and we study all these things. They are there by the design of God. Everything hangs in the balance by his creativity. It's perfect. It's still revolving. Have you ever had a wheel that is out of alignment or something? Right? I was following a car here this morning, or this evening, and it was driving like sideways. Have you ever seen it? It looks like it was doing like the crab walk. It was so bad out of alignment, and you could tell when he took his hand off the wheel because it would like turn into the other lane. He had straightened it out. Like, that is like you're fighting against something, right? Or when you have a tire that's imbalanced, ba-bum, 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 right? You can feel it. That's what that is. Or have you seen when a shock absorber is out on a car? You can see the back tire just bouncing, the front tire just bouncing like a basketball. Like it is imbalanced and it is fighting against itself. When we look at creation, it moves in perfect harmony because it is there. It is placed by God. It's not imbalanced. It's not out of whack. It is perfect by his design. And it's so big, so vast. Just look at, have you gotten out of the city and looked up at the stars? Oh my gosh. There hasn't been a clear night in a month. I don't know. I haven't seen the stars. But when you go out and you look up and you're just in awe of God's creativity, that he knows each star, he knows which one, what each star is made up of, right? He knows each meteor, each comet, he knows the whole thing. But his love and his care is focused on you and me. And that for us, he would come down into this world, right? This little tiny ball of dust, and then the little specks of dust on that ball of dust, that is the focus of the Creator. His love is concentrated on us. And we could think of our insignificance, we could think of how small we are, but really, we are the ones that God has put all his concentration on. That for the creation to move on the way it does doesn't take any effort to him. But he came down here and he took our sin. Right? He worked a strange work, Isaiah calls it. He says God will come down and he will do a strange work. I think it might be Isaiah 28. Strange work. God is working. What was he working for? Working for us, working for our salvation, laboring in the way that we could not labor. There was a job ahead of us. There was work to be done that was too hard for us to do. There was no way that we could do it. So he took on the work and he did it. Amazing. He's able. Right? He's able. If we think of his ability in creation, then we think of his ability to handle our sins. He was able, right? Romans 8:32. That he did not spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us. How could he not also give us all things? If he could take the heaviest object, our sin, take the most difficult problem in the universe and deal with it, can't he handle the little things seeming in our life, or even the big things in our life? He can. He can. He can do it. He's able. And of course, his ability is important, but how about his willingness, that he's willing to do it? So here in Jude, really, I just wanted to read verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling... Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. God is able to keep you from stumbling. What does that mean? What are some things we could stumble over? Hey, Chris.
Like addictions.
Huh?
Like addictions. Like
yes. Addictions. We could stumble over our addictions.
Like worldliness.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, that's it. Back into the world. Yeah. Could stumble with that. Right. Jealousy. How about that? Jealousy. The Proverbs say jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Right. Cruel as the grave. Pride. We could stumble in pride. Yeah. Yep. The old man wants to take authority in our life. He could cause us to stumble. I don't want to think too much about it. That's enough of it. Right? But we all know the idea. These things. But God is able to keep me from stumbling. But how does he keep me from stumbling? It's not that he controls my will. It's not that he overpowers me and makes me do something. But what he does is through fellowship and through relationship, he tells me who he is and he shows me a better way. And then he gives me the freedom to make the right decision. Like, this is the way God works. He does not make us, but he leads us. He is a shepherd. He is not a slave master. There's a difference. You see shepherds, right? Have you ever seen a shepherd working? Right. Some kind of German shepherd working, right? Shepherd working, right? They are amazing. And when a shepherd calls a sheep, they follow his voice. It's amazing. You see it. We showed the video one time, remember? The shepherd had his little ditty he would sing to the sheep. And there was like a high school field trip that went to the farm. And they all tried to make the same noise as the shepherd, right? Yay, yay, yay. And the sheep just kind of looked over. And they just kept doing what they were doing. And four or five kids tried to call the sheep, and the sheep didn't even recognize them. And then the shepherd got up there, and he's, yeah, 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 yeah. And all of a sudden, it's like, rah, and they just came flying. They came flying because of the shepherd. He's the shepherd. But I've also seen videos of bad shepherds. And I saw, I don't know where it was somewhere over in the Middle East, and there's this guy hitting the sheep, the goats or the sheep, whatever they were, with his staff. And one big sheep, it was waiting, and it waited till he turned his back, and then he turned, and the thing just rammed him, and then it backed up, and it rammed him again, and then backed up and rammed him again, right? Justice! But God is not that way, but God is a shepherd in the sense that he leads us in gentleness, and he's not looking for us to do something, right? Like a poor shepherd would say, this is what I need you to do, and if you don't do it, I'm going to hit you with this stick. But the shepherd says, this is who I am. God is our shepherd, says, this is who I am. And this is how I think about it. We can end the illustration of the shepherd. I'm sure every shepherd does not get on the ground with his sheep and say, this is who I am, whatever. But God is our shepherd, says, this is who I am. This is how I treat you. This is what I think about you. Will you follow me? And I will lead you in some interesting ways, and I will lead you contrary to the old man, contrary to the flesh, contrary to the things that make you stumble. But if you trust me, I will keep you from stumbling. I will. So he's not looking to overpower us, but he is looking for us to follow him. I have the will, and I have a volition, and I can follow him. I have the freedom to follow God. Yes, I have the freedom to follow and to stumble and to follow negative things also. I do. But that's what allows me to see the value of God's love for me and the value of the shepherd's care for me. So I say, I have stumbled, but then I met someone who was able to keep me from stumbling. Because last time I stumbled, it hurt. It hurt. Have you ever broke your pinky toe? I have. It hurts. I stubbed my toe on the banister. Man, I went down like a bag of potatoes, right? It hurts. It hurt. When I stumble, it hurts. There's a reminder of it. But somehow I do it again. Why? Because I'm trusting my own way. But God says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. What a verse. Okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you instead of me. and you can keep me from stumbling. But also he is able, verse 24, he is able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Wow, that's a sentence right there. Okay, first, he is able to present you faultless. God is able to present you faultless. I can't present myself faultless. I probably mess it up. Okay, the words, even just trying to say the words, I'd stumble over the words and there's fault, whatever. But God is able to present us faultless. Remember how God speaks to Israel through Jeremiah the prophet? He says, O virgin Israel. That's a statement of faith. That's a statement only God can make. Because Israel had followed every other god, right? They had prostituted themselves out to all these gods spiritually. But God speaks to them, O virgin Israel. Likewise, we have sinned. We have followed, or we have done the wrong. But God is able to present us faultless. How? Because we are offered through Christ. We have been covered by the blood, washed in the blood, sealed by the Holy Spirit, placed in Christ. And that is how God sees us. And Christ presents us before God, not based on our work, not based on our sin or lack of sin, but based on his grace, based on his mercy. And he is able to present us. Nothing else can present us before God. Nothing, no one else has the ability to go into the throne room of heaven and present us to God. Only Christ has that freedom. Read in John, in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, this scene of the courtroom of heaven. It's a powerful thing. And read it. May take the whole week. Read it every day, multiple times. It's amazing. And allow your imagination to picture and comprehend what is happening in the courtroom of heaven. Revelation 4 and 5, where John says, I saw a scroll. There was a scroll. There was a book. And nobody could even look on the book, let alone go and pick it up. Nobody could even approach it. But then one came. It's like the Son of Man. He came, he walked up, he picked up the book with authority and with power. And in that, and based on that, all of heaven breaks out in a song saying, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. Right? Worthy is the Lamb. Everything. That's the one. He's the one who is presenting us before the Father. The able one. Right? And it's not us, but him. He's able to present us in the presence of his glory. Right? Not in the waiting room, not in triage, right? Not in like the lower heaven or something like that. Like imagine that. You ever, as a kid, you could be so excited, right? Like little kids, the pretend is so exciting, right? Like they go to Disney World, they see the big character, they say, I actually met Mickey Mouse, right? The guy met Mickey Mouse. But then as kids get older, they're like, all right, I guess I saw a guy in a Mickey Mouse costume, right? And it's still kind of cool. But then at some point, it's like, all right, that's somebody working here put on a mask. Like, it's okay. We are presented in the glory of God. There is no shortcut. There is no lesser degree. But in the very presence of God, that's where he presents us. And he's able to present us there. And he does it with exceeding joy. We have joy in the presence of God. Isn't that true? So the joy of the Lord is our strength. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Right? All of these things come to mind. And we have joy when we are before God because we know we're forgiven. If we've made it into the presence of God, we know we're righteous, we're forgiven, we're secure, we're saved. But this is saying that Christ has joy presenting us before the Father. That's humbling. That is humbling. He has joy presenting us before God. Right? Exceeding joy he has. Because we are the ones that he fought for. We are the ones that he paid for. We are the ones that he set free. We are the ones who have trusted in his words. We are the ones who have mixed faith with what we've heard. We're the ones who have actually trusted Him. We've taken Him up on the offer of the grace of God, and He has great joy presenting us before the Father. Right? Like bringing a baby home, right, for the first time. Just like pride. Right? Pride. Oh my gosh. Showing, you hold it up like Simba. And just say, there we are. Right? So much pride. I remember bringing Riley to church for the first time, just like parading across the front of the church. The stroller. So proud, right? Oh my gosh. That's the way God is with us. Christ is with us. Like He's just like giddy. And He's overjoyed thinking this is, and He's bringing us in into heaven. He's saying, look, God, Father, there's another one. This one is amazing. And He says, you say that about every one of them. Yeah, because they are all amazing. They're so unique. They're so special. I love each one of them. I've shepherded each one of them. I've walked with each one of them. The Holy Spirit has led each one of them. And now here we are, presented before your glory. Spotless. Right? Spotless. Faultless. Right? To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Right? Powerful couple verses, right? And sometimes we could think that we get to these introductions or these greetings of these epistles, and we say, okay, it's just a saying. But no, it's not just a saying. Like, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, written for us, written for our edification, for our encouragement, so that we would be provoked by it. And I would say, this is who and what I am. And this is who is caring for me, God. I believe it. I trust it. He has to put in there who alone is wise, right? Because we could say, it doesn't seem wise. The plan of salvation does not seem wise. Oh no, it's wise beyond our understanding. It's God's wisdom. It's foolishness to the world, but it's the wisdom of God is amazing. And one day, when we get to heaven, we'll see the whole picture. Imagine that. We'll see the whole picture. Imagine there's someone 6 generations back praying, right? Praying and praying and praying and praying. We don't know them, but one day we'll see the effect of their prayers on our life. We'll see the effect of the evangelists, right? The guy who is just faithful to stand there and preach the Word of God, present the Word of God. Maybe he has no idea how many lives he's touched. I have no idea. Remember my friend? He was like the covert tract guy. He would all, his whole thing, we'd go on evangelism, and he wanted to put a tract in the most interesting place. And he'd spend the whole night just, and he would go into, he went into the bathroom one time, and he unrolled the toilet, and then he rolled tracts back up into the toilet paper roll. So that when people were in there, they would unroll a tract. Tony is like, nice, all right. Yeah. And then in the paper towels, right, he'd be putting the tracks in there. Who knows? There will be one day you'll see the fruit. One day you'll see the fruit. And there's stories. Every missionary has a story of some radical thing. There was a guy named, Clive in Zambia. Clive, I don't know. Do you remember Clive? Amazing. The biggest smile I've ever seen. He was homeless, living in Lusaka. And one day there was just this piece of paper floating through the air. No joke. And he plucked it out of the air, read it, and he went to church. Isn't that amazing? Now he's a tailor and a preacher in Zambia. I think maybe not a preacher. He's not a pastor, but he's a deacon in the church there, right? Why? How does that work? And that's what I was saying this morning from Acts chapter 6. The disciples are multiplied. They're multiplied in the way that God knows, and God's wisdom. Where we could sit here and strategize, and we could say, how can we add to the church? Well, we could go to John and Mavis' neighbors. We haven't met them yet. We could go there. We could go to Phyllis' neighborhood and knock on all the doors until they kick us out. Right? We could go here. We could, whatever. We could think, and God would add these people or whatever. And we could say, I think I know someone who could come to church. Or we honor God. We do what He's called us to do. And we watch Him multiply. And maybe that's by doing all these things. I'm not saying, I'm not ruling any of it out. But I'm just saying, God will multiply. Which is more exciting than addition. Huh? Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe. Yeah. So, that's the wisdom of God. And one day we'll see what it, we'll see the whole thing stretched across. Stretched across. Have you, you go on a, have you been on a plane ride? And you told someone the gospel on a plane somewhere over the Atlantic, and then you both land and you have no idea where the other person is going? Who knows? Who knows? Last time I flew to Budapest, it was next to this guy. No, it wasn't even on the flight. Coming off of the plane, I was standing next to the guy on the flight, and we got talking. And then we got to the luggage rack, and we were talking. And I mean, he was just one of those guys you could talk to, very easy to talk to. And I guess maybe I was that way too. But anyway, we had this conversation, and then it got right to the gospel. And he said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm here as a pastor, to be with a church and do a conference." And he said, "Really? You guys are still relevant? Christians are still relevant?" I said, "Oh yeah, very much so. Let me tell you how relevant we are." And we gave him the gospel. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm here to present at a medical conference." Oh, okay. That clock's throwing me off. He said, "I'm here to present at a medical conference." I said, "Are you a doctor?" He said, "No, I make pasta." I said, "Oh, am I missing something? You make pasta. You're presenting pasta at a medical conference?" "Oh, no. My sister is a doctor, and she is developing medical technology." And I said, "Okay." Still struggling to make the connection. And he just said, "No, she hired me to present it." Because he's like this personality. And he said, "If you give me a script, I will sell anything. I have no idea what I'm saying, and don't ask any questions. But in the presentation, I will convince you." And he's just that, like, very personable, very... But I gave him the gospel, and he was very intrigued by it. So then we're standing there to get our luggage, and Pastor Gary Grinwald somehow showed up at the airport. And so he said, "Hey, you need a ride too?" And the guy said, No. He said, "I thought you were together." And I said, "No, we just met each other 10 minutes ago." All right. So he goes and he does his thing. I go and do my thing. I have no idea where he is. I have no idea. But we had a conversation about the gospel. Where that went, I don't know. But God knows. And someday we'll see it. Someday we'll see it. And we've all had those times. We do it by faith, not for the result, because God is wise. And he can do amazing things with it. So be encouraged by how God describes you. Be encouraged by how excited Christ is to present you before the Father. And how much joy he has in showing you off to God. Right? Amen? Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for telling us this. Thank you for describing your ability to us, how far you're willing to go for us, and how able you are to deliver us and to keep us from stumbling, and how willing and able you are to present us before the Father. So bless our week this week, God. We ask that you would do great things in the midst of the body of Christ, heal, deliver, save. We want to overcome sin. We want to move on from things in our life, and we ask for your help in that. In Jesus' name. Amen.